Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com. Yesterday, a friend of mine set out on an ultra run. He was running 100 miles. And I joined him for a little bit of the way down our neck of the woods. And they finished this morning, kind of about 8:30. They ran 100 miles, an ultra run. And yesterday I had a chance to speak to him quickly, and I said, Gordon, what is going on in your mind when you have that 30 miles to go? You've run 70 miles, you've run more than two marathons, and you've still got another marathon to go. He says, what are you thinking, Gordon? And he says, he said something very profound. He says, I just keep going. I don't think of what I've already achieved. I just keep thinking of what I've yet to do. And I just, you know, that's enough. That's all he had to say. He wasn't thinking of what he had already achieved, but what was still ahead of him. Amen. And we were chatting with some people the other day, and we happened to say, you know, we're sitting here speaking to you, and we've had more of our life behind us than what's ahead of us. And you're sitting there, and you have more of your life ahead of you than what is behind you. But one thing is for sure, the finish line comes up for every single one of us. And what matters is how we cross that line. Amen. Will we cross the line with our faith intact? And if you go to the word in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, and Paul's saying, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. And remember, Paul was like, he prided himself on being living his life to the letter of the law. He seen himself as above everyone else because he thought he pretty much was living the perfect life. And here's this realization on him. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I haven't achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. And I believe that that's the message that the Holy Spirit has this morning for us. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. There are so many of us in here, and I know people say, well, I can never really forget the past. But more of us live in our past than looking forward to the future. Amen. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Amen. Pressing on to reach the end of the race. You know, when we make a decision, any decision, but specifically the one when we say, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus Christ, we have to keep our eyes on the goal to keep on living for Christ. Amen. If our eyes waver, then our path is going to be crooked. Is there anyone here that drives your car looking in the rearview mirror? If you try and drive your car looking in the rearview mirror, catastrophe is not going to be far away. And it's the same when it's like ready, aim, fire. If our aim is not sure and our eyes waver, if we're looking at the cows in the field, then our path is going to be crooked. And sometimes our paths do wind a bit, but it's because I believe we waver. Our eyes, you know, we take our eyes off of that prize. Amen? So, if God is saying, behold, I do a new thing, then by default, that new thing is still on its way. It's still coming. Amen? And it's worthy of our full attention. Hallelujah. I often think, how much energy have I wasted in trying to maintain the status quo or trying to, I say, you can't, I do a test, probably test God in this area. Lord, why can't it be like it was 3 decades ago, 2 decades ago? Because he's always doing a new thing. He's always doing something new. And the Apostle Paul was so very aware of the distractions of life. And he knew that they could suck the faith out of a person and cause the person to be lost. And the Apostle Paul had a young protege called Timothy. And Paul had lived a life, man. You know, I mean, he had, in one situation, he had been beaten so badly. I mean, it must have been terrible. And put outside the city. And he kind of recovers, gets up, and goes straight back to where he got his beating. You know, it's so he's lived this life. And he's like, I want to pour everything I have into you, Timothy. But one of the things was, he was so aware of these distractions in life. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, it says there, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Amen? Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. I think one translation says, I'm not shadow boxing here, guys. I'm not shadow boxing. This is the real thing. This is the real thing. And Paul was in Paul's time, in that culture, in that particular place, there, I think the population was around 650,000 people in Isthmus, but 400,000 of them were slaves. And they would compete for their emancipation or for their freedom. So Paul is using this metaphor here, and it speaks really clearly to us about this. And sometimes we don't aim for eternal achievements. We just aim for earthly success. We want to achieve, want to do well here. And Paul is saying, just slow down, stop, lift your eyes. Whatever you win here on earth is going to be short-lived, temporary, and it's going to perish. I've got, you know, badges and flags and medals and stuff, but they're not going anywhere with me at the end of my life, you know. But it's good to, I mean, I'm not saying it's not good to do that and to have a goal and to go for it and to do that. I think it's great. But he's saying earthly success is never going to satisfy you. All of these things, all the plaudits, all the wreaths, all the laurels, everything are not going to satisfy you. The only thing that will satisfy you is when you go for the crown that will not perish. Amen. The crown that lasts forever. Amen. And so he writes a letter to Timothy, and he says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, he says, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have departed from the faith. You know, wanderings and swervings and, you know, body swerving things and that. We all sometimes wonder. And he's talking to this, to these kind of people. He's talking to us to put some things away behind us so that we will stay on course. Amen. And I mean, Paul, he experienced a lot, even in prison. You know, we've been on prison visitation for many years. And I think one of the hardest things about going into prison is that initially you might have lots of visitors, but gradually the visitors begin to disappear, begin to become less and less. And I think Paul probably experienced that. You know, to keep on visiting someone in a prison is a faithful task. You got to keep on doing it. And if you're not committed, then eventually you're going to say, I've had enough. I've had enough. Paul knew all of this. He knew that his ministry time was coming to an end, so he's urging Timothy to follow in these ways that he's talking about. So it's really showing Paul's heart for Timothy. It's like, Timothy, I'm really concerned about you. I'm concerned about your ministry. I'm concerned about your welfare, because I know that you're going to be tested in the same areas that I am. One of them is relationships. Anyone ever been tested in relationships? He's going to be tested. And he wanted Timothy to finish strong. He wanted Timothy to realize that sometimes you're in this race and you look around and all your buddies are gone. And the people that started the race with you are not with you anymore. And he says, don't worry about that. He says, don't worry about that. Enjoy the solitude. That sometimes we look around and panic. Where are all the people? Where are the people that started with me? What's happened to them? The word says, you run for the prize. You run for the prize. And I remember one time my dad tells a story. He ran an ultra marathon in South Africa. It was his first one, the Comrades Marathon. And he ran it with a veteran of the marathon who'd ran it six times or something, 56 miles. It's long enough. And they trained together for weeks and weeks. They became close friends. They'd went through all of hitting the wall together and all of the blisters and the blood. And they, on the day, they began running in Durban and started running towards Pietermaritzburg. And after the halfway line some time, Doogie began to faint and flag. And my dad was, he said it was one of the toughest times of his life, not knowing whether to stay back and stay with Doogie's friend or whether to keep on running to finish the race himself within the cutoff time, because the cutoff time was 11 hours. And he said that he was crying when he left his friend behind. Doogie was okay. It was only an ultra marathon, and he managed eventually to get to the end. But there came a point where they separated. But if he hadn't done that, he would not have reached the end within the time. Amen. So Paul says to Timothy, guard your heart. If you want to succeed, you've got to stay focused. Push beyond your comfort zone and endure things. Amen. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit's here with you now to help you, to help me, to help us with this race of life. And a lot of times, it's hard. It's hard. True faith is often weak faith. Anyone read the book of Judges and they read about Gideon? He had true faith, but it was weak. But God never rejected Gideon because of that. He encouraged him in it and strengthened him in it because he's seen some potential in Gideon. And Gideon was like, do you know what, Lord, you really don't realize this, but my tribe, they're the least of all in Israel. And not only that, but you've come to me. I'm even the least of them. And Gideon began to make some excuses. And what are excuses? Excuses are just lies that are wrapped up in explanations. Sometimes we just, that's what an excuse is. It's really a lie that's wrapped up in some elaborate explanation. And he says this and this and this. But God says, hang on a minute, Gideon. This is what you're going to do. My people have done the same thing again. They've been oppressed by the Midianites. They're in big trouble. You're the man. It's like, really? Here I am threshing wheat in a wine press. I'm trying to hide away from the enemy. And God says, yeah, but I see you've got strength to do that. I see what's in you. And now he says, go now in this strength of yours. Go now in this strength of yours. What strength is that? Was it his natural human strength? No, it was the strength he was about to be endowed with. God was just about to say, there's your purpose. You're going to go and deliver my people. And of course, you know the story about him choosing his men. Gets from 132,000 down to, how many was it? 300. 300. And they defeated an army of thousands upon thousands. But how does this happen? And just in closing off, just some basics of faith. Because this is where it comes to. Last week we spoke about relying on God and trusting in him. Well, here's how it happens. God just had to get Gideon to believe in him. Mark 9:23. All things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible. Any addiction, any bondage, any deception that you're experiencing, it is possible to be free from that in the name of Jesus. All things are possible if you believe. If you move out of independence and you begin to be dependent on God. And that's the thing. Nowadays, it's a very noble thing to be independent, not in Christianity. In Christianity, we have to be God-dependent, fully dependent on God. Amen? When we are not dependent on God, it's a sign, actually, of unbelief. You've got to depend on God. And that's why God places such importance on faith. Faith is the way we come back into relationship with God and become dependent on him. Amen? Faith takes us beyond our natural senses. You know, in my natural senses, I sometimes would say, gee whiz, you know what? See this marriage? It's not going very well. It might look like that in the natural sometimes. But I never forget the day that God said, well, you're going to make a covenant with your wife. I'm talking years ago, sweetheart. We're blessed. I'm blessed, but sometimes things were hard. more for Linda than for me. More for her than for me, and I really mean that. So, I don't feel like this is working. It doesn't look like it's working. You know, I'm getting the cold shot. I'm this. And you know, all of these things, we walk by our natural senses. But God is like, no. Take your eyes off of that. Take your eyes off. Remember that you can't do this on your own strength. You can't make your marriage work on your own strength. Spoke about that last week as well. Amen. We move from the inability to do things to his ability to do things. And Matthew 17:20, it explains to us how we get that ability, amen? And so it's just about exchanging trust. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to stop trusting in myself. I'm going to trust in you. You know, when the finish line, when Gordon, my friend, crossed the finish line this morning at 8:34, I'm sure that last marathon distance, he wasn't trusting in his own ability. He's a believer, by the way. But I know, I said, Gordon, we're praying for you and your team that you guys will finish this. Amen. So, praise the Lord. When things don't look like they're working, when things don't look like, you know, there's nothing tangible there. There's nothing that we can see, feel, touch. Nothing has been realized yet. It's invisible. It only maybe exists as a hope in our mind or a thought. Faith works by taking that from that realm and bringing it into the natural, into this time and space that we're in, so that we can actually evidence what we've been trusting and believing God for. Amen. Because 2 Corinthians 4 says, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things we see are temporary, but the things which we do not see are eternal. Amen. When we take God at his word and we do not doubt, that's exercising our faith in him. Amen. How do we do that? Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Amen. And so we have to hear his word. And God has probably appointed or ordained someone to speak a word relevant into your life or your situation. So maybe within the last week, someone has spoken something into your life. And now you're at the point of, right, I have to now put some things into action to see things coming to pass. Amen. So once you've heard it, you have to believe it. And you can't have faith in your heart for something you don't believe in. And that's why that this struggle can be so real. So faith is in our hearts. In Romans 10:8, it says, what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart, the word of faith that we preach. That if you confess with your mouth that the Lord God, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We all know that verse. Amen. Whoever believes on him will never be put to shame. Believing with your heart. Hear it, believe it, and finally do it. Act on it. Obey it. Faith is never passive. It's always active. Amen. James 2:17. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So, praise God, we must speak the word, hear ourselves speaking it. That's always good. People think that you're mad. You know, it's like drive past these people in their cars and you can see their mouth moving. Well, they must be singing or they're on their phone. But sometimes you might see us and it's like, no, we're speaking something or praying something so that we can hear it, meditate on it. Stand on the word. And I encourage you to cast yourself on his faithfulness today. Cast all of your cares on him because he cares for you. Amen. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. So this morning as we close, the word says, hold fast to the confession. Hold fast the confession of your hope without wavering. Amen. Luke started us off with a great message that the youth had on Friday night. The finish line, hold fast to see it in your heart. See yourself finishing the race with your faith intact. Amen. And I believe that that's the way we put one foot in front of the other day by day. We wake up every morning with a vision. Wake up every morning with a purpose. And when we finally have the result of faith, when our hopes become realized, I call that victory. And the victories bring glory to God. Amen. Say this after me. This is from 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. I have been born of God. And I overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. So who is he who overcomes the world? That's you. That's you. It's us. Amen. Amen. I'm hoping you can walk out of church happy now this morning. Because you know that you're an overcomer. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.